Good morning. It's good to be here. I don't know how good it was to hear there's a fellowship dinner after services, right? Is that right? You didn't say that, but there is one. So just in case Thanksgiving wasn't enough for you, or if you're like not like me and your pants still fit fine, that's where you want to go, is right next door. Fellowship dinner for Rick and Steph. I think we're very glad for Olivia and Caitlin to be joined together, and Jenny and Steve, and you all will be too for 16 to 18 months. Right, Dennis and Wanda, where are you at? Then it all starts, sorry, Steve and Scott, but there comes a time when they're not any fun anymore. And I didn't realize it, but probably when the twins were 6 to 9 months, I noticed Dennis and Wanda always had this smile on their face. And I thought they were just really happy for us until Missy and I seen a couple in Walmart with twins that were probably around 18 months. And I seen Missy with this smile on her face. I said, that's the looks that Wanda used to give us. So, and it's because we like to see other people go through the same thing we went through. Not because we want to help them. This morning, this sermon is kind of like the Snickers commercial. I love Thanksgiving, and so I do, and don't laugh at this part, I do a pre-Thanksgiving fast because I want to go all in. And so I think this sermon, I had that Mike needs a Snickers type mentality to it. And then after I've ate, I've kind of kept going over it and thinking, well, maybe I'm being a little too harsh here and there, but we're going to go with what's wrote and hope that it works out. Before you are baptized, Christians make the confession that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we get that wording from Acts, the 8th chapter, in the 37th verse, where Philip is speaking with the eunuch there. And Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. As he asked, here's water, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you can see in your Bible that verse there is kind of either asterisked or it's put down in the footnotes because some early manuscripts don't include it there. And so some doubt that it was included in the original. But whether or not it's included in the original manuscript, it has become the common confession. This confession was first made by Peter in response to Jesus' question. Jesus was there with the disciples, and he asked them, who do people say that I am? And some said that you are John the Baptist, and others say you are Elijah. But Jesus then made it more personal, and he said, but you guys, you, who do you say that I am? And it was Simon Peter in Matthew 16:16 who answered that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in verse 17, Jesus responds to Peter with an affirmation of inspiration. It says there that, and Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There are several religious groups that accept Jesus as a prophet, but not as the only begotten Son of God, or the same as God. It is difficult, or not difficult, to deny that Jesus historically lived here on this earth and that he taught people in a certain time in ancient Judea. There's no person that has had more impact on the history of the world than Jesus Christ. And even atheists don't deny that Jesus was here and lived and taught. Even Muslims teach that Jesus was a great prophet, but they deny the fact that he is God. And so this morning the idea of the lesson is we're going to talk about that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. And again, I said other world religions deny the divine sonship of the deity of Jesus. And again, atheists deny that he is the Son of God. They don't deny that there is a man that existed. The Hindus believe that Jesus existed, but they deny that he was anything other than another man. The Hindus believe that Jesus was a man who reached what they called God consciousness. They say during those lost years in the Bible, whenever Jesus was a young man, that he traveled to Southeast Asia as a teenager, and there he learned the yogi teachings, and then he returned and became a guru for the Jews. To them, Jesus is a good teacher, and perhaps one of their 330 million avatars. To the Hindu, an avatar is the incarnation of the impersonal supreme being that they believe fill the universe. The Hindus teach that Jesus said that I and the Father am one, and they use that as an affirmation that he was using Hindu teaching, and that through rigorous religious practice, anyone can reach that level of God consciousness. The Buddhists view Jesus as a very spiritual person, but again, they don't see him as a deity. The Dalai Lama says that Jesus is a role model for the spiritually mature, a good and warm-hearted person. The Dalai Lama and others believe that this good-heartedness saying is to emulate him, that we should practice this through meditation. We move on to the Muslims. They view Jesus as a very religious prophet. But again, they don't list him on the same level as God. The Quran refers to Jesus under the very personal name of Isa, or Isa, son of Mary. And he's also there frequently called El Masa, which is Messiah. And so in various passages of the Quran, it talks about Jesus, and it uses these words to describe him there, that he is the Word of God, that he's the Word of truth, that the Spirit is from him. He is a messenger of God, a prophet of God, a servant of God. They even say that he is an illustrious in this world and in the next, and in the next nearest to God, which is probably why they treat Christians so well, right? Maybe not, but that is what they say. But the Muslims deny the deity and the eternal sonship, that is Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And I'm going to probably say a name really wrong, but nobody's going to really care. Hamdullah Abdullah, who writes for Islam and Focus, he said this, that Jesus never claimed to be God or the Son of God. He never contended that he was the Christ, but that he was only a servant and an apostle of the Lord. And in the very same sense, others like Moses were messengers of God before him. And of course, they see the Prophet Muhammad as being superior to Jesus. That doesn't just contain itself to Eastern religions. It doesn't just stay with the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims, because here in the United States, we have two large religious groups that deny the divine sonship and deity of Jesus. The Mormons deny that the divine sonship of Jesus. They deny that and that Jesus is an eternal deity. And it's really hard and difficult in dealing with the changing Mormon doctrines. They have three books that they put on the same level as the Bible. The Book of Mormon, the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And they redefine terms to agree with their doctrine. So Christians believe one thing is being said when actually something entirely different is being said. Their missionaries are taught very young to deny some controversial doctrines unless they are confronted with their own sources. The Book of Abraham is a section of Mormon scriptures that is contained in the Pearl of Great Price. And there, that was wrote by Joseph Smith in around 1835. And it was described by Joseph Smith, which is kind of convenient, as a translation of some ancient records. He purported that to be the writings of Abraham while he was in Egypt and called it the Book of Abraham, that he wrote it with his own hand upon papyrus. And there, Joseph Smith was kind enough to translate that. And it was a story of Joseph's early life, including a vision of the cosmos. And Abraham's vision showed a planet there in the cosmos called Kolob. And that planet was the nearest to God. And supposedly, God lives near that planet with a multitude of wives. Bruce McConkie, who is what he considers himself a Mormon apostle and one of their leading scholars, he wrote this. He says that the Father is a glorified, perfected, resurrected, exalted man who worked out his own salvation by obedience in the same laws given to us so that we may do the same. Concerning the origin of man, Brigham Young taught this. He said, "How much unbelief exists in the minds of the Latter-day Saints in regard to one particular doctrine which is revealed to them and which God revealed to me, namely that Adam is our God and Father. Our Father Adam is the man who stands at the gate and holds the key to everlasting life and salvation to all his children who have ever or will ever travel upon this earth." Brigham Young, again by what he said was revelation, taught that Adam, or God, brought one wife, Eve, into Eden. And he continues on and says that when our father Adam came to the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body. And he brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. And he helped to make and organize the world. You'll also maybe find interesting that the Mormons believe that there is a heavenly mother, also called Mother God. And Joseph Smith originates this because he said, "Do you think in heaven there are single parents?" It only makes reason for him to say that truth is reason. And his truth was that it made sense that if there was a father, there also has to be a mother there. The official Mormon doctrine about the birth of Jesus is that he was a result of a physical relationship between the man God, the same as Adam, and Mary. God the Father is a perfected, glorified, holy man with an immortal personage. And then they also say that Christ was born into this world as a literal son of this holy being. He was born in the same personal, real, and literal sense as any mortal son is born to a mortal father. There is nothing figurative about his paternity. He was begotten, conceived, and born into the normal and natural course of events, for he is the Son of God, and that designation means what it says. They also continue on in their teachings that for the Latter-day Saints, the paternity of Jesus is not obscure. He was the literal, biological son of an immortal, tangible father, and Mary, a mortal woman. The Pearl of Great Price affirms that even Satan himself is a son of God, and making him a brother to Jesus, with equal to Christ in his nature. Another view here in America is that of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that they also denied the biblical teachings of Jesus. And they believe that Jesus was merely an angel who is just one of many gods. They say in their Watchtower publication that Jehovah God created Jesus as a divine-like spirit at some point in ancient pre-creation time. This means that he was created before all the other spirit sons of God, and that he is the only one who was directly created by God. They also, in a tract called Aid to Bible Understanding, believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. It says there that there is scriptural evidence that indicates that the name Michael applies to God's Son before he left heaven to become Jesus Christ, and also after his return. And then they take and they twist scriptures to make erroneous arguments to deny Jesus. There where it says, if you are the Son of God, surely you can't be an eternal or an almighty God. But even the Jews during Jesus' time on earth didn't believe that. In John, the 5th chapter in verse 18, it says, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Now, why were they wanting to kill him? It goes on to answer, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Another argument that they use is that Jesus was born first. He couldn't have been eternal. And they like to refer back to Colossians 1:15, where there Paul writes, if he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That word firstborn is the Greek word prototokos. And it doesn't mean first created, as the Jehovah's Witness want to or have taught through the Watchtower Society. There's another word for first created, and that is protoketos, and that is not the word that Paul used. The Greek scholars all agree that Paul used that first word, and that has the meaning of superior, preeminent in rank, or above. We find in our Bibles that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. To state that Jesus is the Son of God is to state that Jesus is God. And we've already seen that the Jews during Jesus' time understood that this was the case. When chastised for healing on the Sabbath, Jesus referred to God as his Father. And the Jews understood then that this was claiming equality with God the Father. Again, that verse back in John 5:18, for this reason the Jews were seeking to kill him, and because he was breaking the Sabbath, but also he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When the Jews sought to convict Jesus of blasphemy, they asked him, as Luke records in Luke 22:70, are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, yes, I am. They understood his claim to be the Son of God was an affirmation of deity. In verse 71 of Luke chapter 22, they said, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it with our own mouth. Jesus clearly claimed to be the eternal God. In John 14, verses 8 and 9, there we hear Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus claimed to be the God to which Moses spoke at the burning bush. Back in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14, there it says, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, who is his name? Or what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you to me. Jesus then again in the book of John says in chapter 8, verses 56 through 59, that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus said that the miracles that he performed was to prove that he was the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verses 36 to 38, there it says, "Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe in the works, so you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Others in the Bible testify that Jesus is the Son of God. God the Father called Jesus my Son. During that baptism scene of Christ in Mark, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11, it says, immediately after coming up from the water, he saw the heavens opening and a spirit like a dove descending upon him, him being Jesus. And a voice came out from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." By inspiration, we've seen that Jesus attested to Jesus' deity back in Matthew 16, 15, and 16. John the Baptizer testified that Jesus is the Son of God. In John, the first chapter in verse 34, he says, "I have seen it myself," and have testified that he is the Son of God. Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, acknowledged his sonship. In John, the first chapter in verse 49, Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And after the resurrection, Thomas realized Jesus was God. And in John, the 20th chapter in verse 28, it tells us that Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." The gospel writers continue doing the same. Mark 1:1 says, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." John finishes his gospel book by saying, "Therefore, there are many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus often referred to himself in the same terms as God the Father. If we look back there in that Exodus account and in John chapter 8, the term "I am," the eternally existent one. If we look in several verses in Isaiah in the 40th chapters, over into Revelation, there Jesus says that he is the first and the last. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and 17 and Revelation 17 and 14 speak of Jesus as the Lord of Lords. And in Psalms 24 and 29 and in 1 Corinthians 2:8 as the Lord of Glory. Jesus is the only truly begotten Son of God. And he did not become that Son of God when he was born to Mary. As a member of the Trinity, Jesus has an eternal relationship with the Father. John, again, 8:24 tells us that we must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son or be lost. Being the Son of God and a member of the Trinity, Jesus rules sovereign. John 12:48 tells us that he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The words I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. And William read there in Philippians 2:10, "And at that name Jesus, every knee will bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth." And so the question becomes, as we close this morning, is, are you bowing your knee to the only begotten Son of God? And I know as modern Americans, we don't bow to anyone But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that there is one that we should bow to. And if we're not, the Bible teaches us that someday we will bow to Him. We will either bow to Him as our judge, or we can bow to Him as our Savior. This morning, if there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, we invite you to come as together we stand and we sing.